This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
Wow, did we get you out of bed, Glenn? Sounds like you're struggling a little bit there. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 24th, 2012, episode 494, and it's brought to you by Omega Alpha. Good morning, horse people.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take us from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning here on Horses in the Morning. Well, Jamie, over the weekend, I almost did a Jamie over the weekend, Jamie.
What were you thinking? Tell everybody what you did and what my response was when you sent me a text photo.
Well, we decided it was Saturday and we didn't have much else going on, and there's this horse sale that happens every once in a while over here at a horse auction. Over here in Ocala, and so we went over, and it's usually a safe auction to go to because all they sell is hundreds of brown quarter horse after brown quarter horse, and it actually gets kind of boring seeing brown quarter horse after brown quarter horse, but they had a couple other things. They had this mule that was the cutest mule I've ever seen. It would look really good pulling my cart. It was really cute. We didn't take any pictures of the mule.
Which cart is this? Do you actually have a cart now?
Yeah, actually, thanks to Wendy, my co-host of the Driving Radio Show. She showed up one day here at the studio to record the driving show, and she brought an official competition carriage along. And she said, Aww. Here you go. So I have the carriage and no horse to pull it. But the mule would have been a good size. This competition carriage would take about a 15 to 16 hand horse. And it would have been a good size for that. But then we rounded the corner and there it was. And you know my affinity for Percherons. I just love Percherons. Love the big draft horses, Percherons especially. And there stood what must have been an 18-and-a-half hand big black Percheron. And it was so sad. This was a Jamie situation all the way around because it was too skinny, needed to gain about 300 pounds, and it stood there, and we couldn't figure out by the teeth because I think they had doctored the teeth a little bit. They had done some creative filing, and we couldn't really tell how old the Percheron was, probably 10, 20 years old. And it just looks, it was so sweet, and just standing there, good feet and everything, and just healthy looking, you know, from the coat, but just needed a lot of vittles. And I was going, oh, nobody here is going to buy this Percheron. It was going to be the last horse sold. And we did not stay around to see what it sold for. Probably sold for $200. But
you have to stay around. Okay,
are you
let
kidding?
Me ask you
there are about 100 horses after, between the time we left and the Percheron. I would have.
See, but now you're going to think about that Percheron forever. You're never going to be able to.
What talked us out of it is this thing really needed vittles. This poor horse really needed vittles. And, you know, when we had our Percherons in the past, they ate about a bale of hay a day. We'd give them half a bale in the morning, half a bale at night. And down here with the hay at about $10 a bale and not having access to a lot of grass, we knew that this horse needed to be turned out in about 20 acres of grass. And we just didn't have it. So it would have cost us a fortune to take this horse home.
Yeah, well, that's tough. So, question. This horse auction that you went to, is this like a sad brown quarter horse auction, kind of upscale?
This is, they were selling quarter horses. They range between $1,000 to $5,000. And there's a lot of them that have been used for cutting and ranching and reining and stuff like that. So I would say it was it's a middle road auction. None of these are going for meat.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, I'm glad you made it home safe and sound without a very large, giant, starving percheron. Sad.
Jennifer posted the picture on Facebook, and you gotta remember that I'm 6'1", and I'm standing beside this horse, and I could not see the top of his back, and I'm 6'1". So that gives you some indication of how big this horse was. And once he filled out, if he put some weight on him, he was going to look pretty impressive.
Well, he's very cute. I mean, I look at that, and I'm like, how could you not get him? What's wrong with you? Don't leave him there. Glenn had pretty much talked. We met some lovely folks that are local around here. He had pretty much talked this other horse husband into buying him because he snuck away from the wife who kept saying, no, we shouldn't buy him because we don't have anywhere to put him. So Glenn pretty much talked this fella into buying the horse and putting him in the next door neighbor's 20 acres. They had it all planned out.
I was like, you got to buy this horse. Percherons are great. You got to buy him. And I really wanted to, let me tell you. Although I wouldn't have had anything, halter, harness, cart, nothing that would have fit this horse. It's starting to get 18 and a half hands. You have to get custom everything.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm going to have to update you sometime this week on the draft horse that is in my neighborhood, Glenn, that is free to a good home, that's starving. So the worst thing in the world that I did was this, you know, I told you about the police officer that came and brought me pictures of my horses and their past lives and the horses that I have adopted from the sheriff's department. She brought me their files and I got to look at their files. Well, the worst thing she ever did was give me her phone number. I'll tell you why. Because I call her. I'm like, hey, have you seen the horses up on Ocotillo? That road, it's like the third house on the right. Those horses are starving. So she, of course, has to go investigate. And then, like, this weekend, I'm like, hey, it's in her text. I'm like, have you seen the horses on 183rd, fourth house in on the left? This poor woman, she's going to regret ever giving me her phone number. But
she's going to be sorry she ever stopped by to visit your horse, ever.
Oh, you bet. Somehow, they just recently confiscated some, but these horses down the street that I saw, I'll keep you updated because they are very hungry. And number one, I'm going to feed them today because they're actually looking for homes for them because they realize now they can't take care of them. So I will keep you guys posted. And one is a draft horse, Glenn. It's a draft horse.
Is it black? Got to be big and black.
It's big and black. It's big and black. You're going to love it. I'll send you pictures.
All right. Jennifer, what's coming up?
I have no idea. On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, our week-long adventure into unlikely equestrian edutainment begins with some clever culinary compounding as Reese Koffler Stanfield stops by with the long-awaited treat for the taste buds. Additionally, Horse Nation's Wiley Leslie joins us for her usual first-of-the-week roller coaster ride through the most remote areas of the equestrian universe. And the cherry on top of our Monday is this. It's National Cherry Jubilee Day.
Well, there you go. Well, my Daily Winnie. My Daily Winnie goes out to Governor Christie of New Jersey, and I'm sure he's listening right now. And he gets my Daily Winnie because he just signed the bill prohibiting slaughter, transport, and sale of horses for human consumption through or in New Jersey. And what this bill says is that you're not allowed to even think about slaughtering a horse in his state. And it prohibits the sale of horse meat and bans the transportation of horse meat or live horses. And what that means is they're not even allowed to drive the trailers through New Jersey anymore, which was a major corridor for the horse being shipped to Canada. So now, unfortunately, they do these feel-good bills, you know, and they get all the publicity for signing the bills, and that's terrific, and I think it's a good thing. However, they never have any teeth behind them. The law now imposes a fine of, what would you think the fine would be, Jamie, for violating a law like this? What would you think it should be?
Well, I mean, let's see. If you get pulled over for a speeding ticket and you're going like five over, your speeding ticket is like $280. So it better be at least 10 times that.
No. How about $100?
What?
$100. Now, and imprisonment of 30 days. But you know nobody ever goes to jail for that stuff. So we have a $100 fine. People are just going to do it and say, screw that, I don't care. Pay the fine. It's just, you know, so I congratulate them for doing it. I wish they had put more teeth behind it is all.
But yeah.
I'm glad they did it. Well, that's a step one, anyway. Step one.
Exactly. I'm not giving my Daily Wendy to none of you. None of you. I am shocked. Okay, shocked.
We win.
You, I'm proud of you. Way to go. So this morning in the pre-show meeting, we're talking about the Emmys last night, which we'll go over a little bit later. And Glenn and Jennifer say, since there's no Big Bang Theory on the Emmys, we just don't watch anymore. And I, like, laughed. I'm like, oh, who watches that crappy show? Well, apparently everybody does but me. I posted on Facebook, do you like this show? We just need a little bit of help here because, and I'll tell you, I know that everybody loves this show because Chad and I, my husband and I, have sat down in front of it and we have hit play. I've recorded it and we have sat down three or four times and tried to watch it and we can't get through 5 minutes of it. That tall, skinny guy is just... he's just awful. He's so stupid, and I hate that show. I've tried. Really. We've both tried, and we're like, we don't get it. We do not get it. Well, apparently everybody in the world gets it but us, because I posted on Facebook, do you like the show? And so far, not one person on our Facebook has said they hate it.
And there's like almost 30 comments there, and they all love it. I mean, do you think it's an intelligence thing, Jamie? Just asking. Because, you know, it's intelligent.
It's a cool kid thing, and you are all nerds, and I was one of the cool kids in school. So they do call you. They don't call you Glenn the Cool Kid. You're Glenn the Geek.
No, they call me Glenn the Geek. And it is a geeky show. And if you notice, most everybody that posted on there said, well, I'm a bit of a science nerd. And, you know, there were a lot of those comments on there. I had forgotten that Kaylee, the lead girl on that show, the neighbor girl, she is a horse person, and she rides, and Angie just posted on here that I forgot about this, that a couple of years ago, her horse spooked and stepped on her leg, shattering it, and she had to have a cast and stuff. Well, they edited the show so you couldn't see the bottom half of her for the whole time she was on the cast. I forgot about that.
I don't care. So
there's a horse connection, Jamie. Horse connection.
I didn't say I didn't like her, actually. She's fine. I think her choice of men and roommates or whatever they are, I think it's questionable. But if she likes horses, she may be a little bit all right. But, yeah, none of y'all get my Winnie. I get my own Winnie because I'm the only one who's got any taste around here. How about that?
Well, we'll find out what kind of taste you have when we talk about the Emmy winners here in a minute. I did have a news story I wanted to do first, and that it revolves around the United States Equestrian Federation. And what they have done is they have, you know, they've been working on this frangible pin technology for a long time in eventing, and this directly affects Jamie. And what a frangible pin is, it's a pin system for the cross-country jumps, which tend to be solid edifices that don't give very easily. What the frangible pins are is it's a pin system that when you hit that log that's across that cross-country jump, that the log will give way and this pin will give way, and actually the log kind of falls down. Did I get that right, Jane? That's about the best description I can think of.
Yeah, so basically when you're galloping up at a giant log or some sort of very solid fence, if you're going to hit it and potentially have a rotational fall, which is what they're designed for, to prevent, the jump actually, yes, like you said, gives way. But they're specifically for kind of more of the rotate, like the huge falls.
Right, right.
Not just you.
Well, they began testing them in 2008. This technology actually started in England, and they began testing them here. Well, and they've done it, at certain competitions. Not all the competitions could afford it. Well, now they have a grant program that they've just announced that will allow competitions to get a grant to put more of those jumps in. So hopefully more and more of the smaller competitions across the country will be able to participate in this. And it's at preliminary level and above. So
right, right. And one of the recent, the one I went to, Copper Meadows, they don't do it for every fence, but they do it for the ones that could potentially cause a problem. So I remember them mentioning that one of the only frangible jumps on the preliminary level and intermediate, because they had both, was the jumps coming out of the water. So you have, you know, your big jump, you jump into the water, and then you have like two strides, and then you jump this skinny little jump out of it. Well, that was frangible, because that apparently can cause a lot of problems. So anyway, it's an awesome technology, and I'm glad there's a grant program, man. That's awesome. Because accidents happen everywhere.
And, you know, the other thing that they brought in, what do they call those logs, the foam ones, the ones that are not solid? Are they foam? Trying to remember. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? I cannot remember the name of them. But they started using those at Rolex, and they're basically made of foam. They look real. They look like a solid jump. Now, there were some arguments about that because of horses hitting them, and you know, there were some arguments about that. One, they weren't cheap, and two, it takes a while to replace them, so they have to hold up the courses. But I think they're getting better at replacing those, too. They had a couple of stops at Rolex this year because of replacing those, but I think they're getting quicker at that as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, they just don't hurt as bad.
Let's talk a little bit Emmys, because one of my favorite comedies actually did really well, and one of your favorite shows actually got an Emmy as well, correct?
Yeah, yeah, and I got to tell you, I don't have much to add to this whole list of winners from last night, because I didn't watch it, by the way. We saw about 5 minutes of it. Did you see it at all?
I did not see a bit of it. I went out to dinner with friends. I actually found some friends to go out to dinner with. It was crazy.
Well, and I know you. One of your favorite shows, and Jennifer and I have never watched it, is Modern Family. And Modern Family just wiped up last night.
It really did. It won, Best Comedy Series, and then it also won Best Supporting Actress and Supporting Actor. And the guy that won Best Supporting Actor, Glenn, is on the show. He is like the most flamboyantly big gay guy you have ever seen. I mean, just squeals and just is like so gay, and in real life, totally straight. So I guess that's Emmy worthy right there. But it's a fantastic show. That show cracks us up, and I have a secret crush on the husband, kind of nerdy husband. So there you go. Maybe I do have a little nerd in me.
See, well, I was just going to say, you should be watching Big Bang Theory. Well, the other one that I was shocked at, and you mentioned it in the pre-show meeting, we saw 5 minutes of the show last night of the Emmys, and the 5 minutes we saw was the Best Actor for a Comedy Series, and John Cryer won again for 2.5 Men. That show is still winning awards. Now, that's kind of the show that I thought was over.
Well, I am just shocked. I mean, I guess Ashton Kutcher coming into that show did breathe the new life into it that they wanted. But, okay, 2.5 Men, seriously? Although that show is incredibly funny. It is very funny and very inappropriate. But John Cryer, I guess they gave it to him because they were like, man, you've been through enough. We're going to give you the Emmy for sticking with it.
He was shocked, too. You could tell when he gave his speech, which wasn't much of a speech, because I think he was shocked. I think he was shocked to get it again. He was not expecting that. And he was up against the main character on Big Bang Theory and a couple of other shows, so I'm sure he didn't think he was getting it again, but he did. The one I was very happy about was Kevin Costner won for actor in a miniseries for Hatfields and McCoys, which was absolutely terrific miniseries. And he was, oh, it's terrific. You would love it. You and Chad would love it. And he was great in it. I mean, if it comes on again or if you can get it through one of the services, definitely watch it. Highly recommend Hatfields and McCoys. It was probably one of the best, and Jennifer will agree with this, one of the best dramatic miniseries on TV that we've ever seen. And this was produced by the History Channel, which is not known for its dramatic, you know, miniseries that are really good like that. And it was excellent. It was HBO quality excellent.
I do want to see it. I just always forget about it. But Chad and I are so hooked on Westerns now that's pretty much all we watch. So we're getting all caught up on John Wayne series, and then we got to check out all the Jimmy Stewart movies. And this is all from my dad, by the way. He sent me like 100 John Wayne movies when I told him I liked one. So he was so excited. And then when Chad named his horse the Duke, oh my gosh. My dad was like, I knew I liked that boy. I knew I liked him for some reason.
Now, did you tell me, too, that your dad... No, I shouldn't say it. That's embarrassing. Tom Berenger was also one best supporting actor for Hatfields and McCoys. I'm going to let that one go. Because I don't know if I was supposed to say it.
I don't know where you're going with that. Just type it to me and I'll...
It involves a Duke. Now, also, I was very happy that Maggie Smith, one of the best character actors in the absolute world, won for supporting actress in a drama for Downton Abbey. She is terrific. She plays the grandmother on there. And she is absolutely, truly one of the best supporting actresses that I've ever seen. And we were so happy to see Downton Abbey. They were nominated for a bunch of stuff. And that's all they won was right there. And I was sad to see that because it's excellent.
I want to see that show. I really do. I think it would be kind of in my wheelhouse because I love Jane Austen and all those kind of movies. But for the first time ever right now, I just realized it's not Downton Abbey. Just because you read it.
Downton Abbey.
I had no idea. I thought this whole time I'm like, Downton Abbey. I want to see that show, Downton Abbey. Okay,
well, if anybody's going to start watching that, if you're going to start watching it, watch it from the beginning. Just go back to season one and watch it from the beginning. Do not start in the middle. You need to start from the beginning of that one.
And when
what
do
else
you
was
see...
on here that you saw that you
well,
struck you?
Can you believe that they now have to have in the Emmys reality television awards? Reality TV has to have its own the reality competition program, The Amazing Race, which if I was going to be on one, I would want to do that one. And then the you have to have the best host, and I wonder if Ryan Seacrest gets mad about this every year, that Tom Bergeron won it from Dancing with the Stars. And I want to know,
Ryan was nominated, too.
was he nominated? Was he sitting there, and did he practice that loser face, you know?
Let's not feel too bad for Ryan Seacrest, who has to make, they said he is approaching the $1 billion mark.
I believe it. It's ridiculous.
He's on everything. He's hired for anything you see on TV, he's there.
He's a host. And I'm telling you, I told you this whole story, that we both started in the same place, okay? We both started at Star 94 in Atlanta, Georgia. So I am in, wait, no. He is a millionaire, and I am.
And you're here on a morning show that's on the internet talking about horses.
That really puts it into perspective, really, when you say he's worth $1 billion. That guy did something right.
He is the next, who's the guy that's, you know, he's obviously was being groomed. Oh, what's his name? I've totally lost it. He just died recently.
Dick Clark.
Yes, he was the next Dick Clark. And obviously he was being groomed for that for years.
No, Glenn. He is not the next Dick Clark. He is a Dick Clark clone.
True.
I'm telling you, he's a clone.
It's true.
He's not a real person.
Maybe they were cloning people long before we knew.
I think it's a big Hollywood plot. He's actually a clone.
Well, that's about all I've got for this.
I was looking at the last one because I think pretty much all I watch is Comedy Central and The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, that liberal, ridiculous, never mind. The Daily Show with Jon Stewart won Best Variety. Music or comedy series, when clearly Stephen Colbert is much funnier because he loves dressage.
And should have obviously won.
Obviously. Duh. So, hope you guys enjoy. If you watched it and you or you care about it and you want to say anything about it, just post it on our Facebook page. Or, of course, you can always give us a call at 347-637-3238. Booyah.
And is Jennifer or is Jamie the only one out there who likes Modern Family? Let us know. Let us know. Maybe she's the only horse person that likes Modern Family. We'll find out.
Oh, my God. That show is so funny.
Hey, you know what else we watched all weekend? Oops, sorry about that. Whacked my mic. And I don't know why we watched this. We're not really gearheads. We're not car people. But we watched the car auction all weekend. We watched 15 hours of car auction. They're in Vegas right now. And they're coming, of course, back to, we want to take our trip out to Arizona. If we can afford it, we want to take our trip out to Arizona to visit Jamie during the next Barrett Jackson car auction in Arizona. Oh, that'd be so much fun.
Glenn, do you know how much it costs to get into the Barrett Jackson auction?
No, I don't, actually.
It is like hundreds of dollars a ticket.
No. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's expensive. It is expensive. Hold on. I'm going to Google it. Like, Barrett Jackson ticket prices in Arizona. But I just know that some friends of mine went, and they went because, like, her dad bought the family tickets because they had lots of money and he was going to buy a car there. So he wanted the whole family around them. So it's expensive. I can't think of how much now. But
I'm looking right now. I'm on their website. Oh, you're right. Oh, they have a family value day for $7.
There we go.
Yeah, see, you can get the all-week pass is $160, or the daily passes are like $15. So, and
I think
$15
there's or $25. Like an elite set, like to get to the elite part of it,
yeah.
The auction.
That's all different. It's
yeah,
different.
Yeah, we're just talking about going looking at all the pretty cars.
Okay.
Yeah. So we can go. That'd be fun. I just love that auction. I don't know why. We just sit there and watch it. You know what we do? We make believe we won the lottery, and which ones would we buy?
Is that in between, like when the Big Bang Theory is on commercial, you flip over to the car auction, you nerd?
That's it. I got a story to tell you about the guy won the most recent big lottery in Michigan. You heard about this guy? He won the $300 million. He got like $210 million after taxes or something. It was a lot of money. And he calls himself the hillbilly, and he apparently is quite a hillbilly. Apparently, he's quite out of shape, quite heavy, and claims to eat at McDonald's every day, and says he will not change. He will not change. He will continue to eat at McDonald's every day. He has now put himself up on. He's divorced several times, I think, and now put himself up on many of the online dating sites. And he said that his goal with his money is to date better women. And that's his goal. And to spend his money. And I don't think, judging by the way he sounds, he's going to have any trouble at all. He's going to be broke in 2 years. You know that's what's going to happen.
It always happens to, like, the seriously, like, the most trailer-living, out-in-the-country, hillbilly redneck always wins the lottery. And they're, then you drive by. This happened in Atlanta that I know of because I used to board my horse at a place close by. It was like this trailer park having girl who was always like buying cigarettes at the gas station, and she won the lottery. And then every time you drove by her house, there was something new, like a new jet ski, and then new motorhome, and then new just whatever. But like it was all toys. All like four wheel. All of a sudden she had the new four wheelers and she was driving around. I mean, but they're broke. You're right. In like 2 years.
Yep. That's what happens to a lot of them. They never had money. So they don't know how to handle money. And that's part of the problem is they just don't know how to handle money. And so they never had it in the first place. They don't know how to handle it. And it's just a bad situation.
I would like to say that I've never had money, but I would like to give it handling it a try. Just send it on. I bet I can prove you wrong, Glenn. Those without money
can learn
how to handle
it. Oh, my God.
Can
you imagine, Jennifer? She would have this rescue farm. It'd be 1,000 acres, and she would have 1,000,000 horses, and she'd be broke in 1 year, not two.
Well, see, the good thing is I'm married.
She'd be driving along. She'd she'd be driving. I know what would happen. She'd be driving along. She wouldn't even wait for the rescue place, you know, to call the county. She wouldn't call the county. She'd just pull over and say, how much you want for that horse? That's it. I'm taking this horse from you. How much you want for that horse? And she'd buy it on the spot. She'd pay too much for it because she's a softie. They'd say, oh, we want $2,000. She said, I'll give you $5. Here, just give me the horse. And then she'd have 100 of those in the backyard. You know you'd do that.
I sure would, but I would have bought that Percheron from the auction. Wouldn't have left it there.
Apparently, several other people on Facebook would have, too. I'm watching the comments come in. I'm not the only one.
Yeah. See, you should have done it. Should have done it.
Well, let's take a break for our commercial here for this show. We're brought to you today by Omega Alpha. You know, we all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies. That's why Omega Alpha uses only all-natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. Dozens of different all-natural products are available to help your horses with all kinds of things, including their coat, digestive tract, kidney and liver function, muscles, joints, and much more. Anti-Flam is one of those products. Anti-Flam alleviates rheumatic pain and body aches, especially in the back, joints, legs, and feet. It can be used for both chronic and acute cases. It acts like an anti-inflammatory in muscles, feet, and joints, and also relieves pain, and Anti-Flam encourages repair of damaged tissue. Plus, it supplies sulfur to the body, important for many biochemical reactions in the body. See all of their products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com, or like them on Facebook by searching for Omega Alpha Equine. Jennifer, isn't it soon time for them, for Dr. Chang again?
Yeah, he's tentatively scheduled, I think, in a week, but he's tentative.
Okay.
I haven't heard back from him. I think he's traveling around the world doing some lectures right now, so he might get delayed this month a little bit.
Good. It's always fun. And is our guest ready yet? Or are you giving her a call?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you do that?
Glenn, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. The reason Jennifer is not paying attention and is because she's currently watching The Big Bang Theory. She's not listening to our show at all, and she's, like, over there nerd laughing with all her nerd friends. All of our nerd Facebook listeners. Sheesh. Ridiculous.
That really surprised you, didn't it? That really did surprise you.
I just didn't know what... I had no idea that we had such an interesting listening audience. I am a jerk most of the time, I guess.
I'm surprised, actually. I'm really surprised that almost every comment on there is they love that show.
Okay, now Kim Tudor put down some of the quotes of Sheldon, which I guess is the really nerdy guy, the really one I can't stand. And this is like the stuff he says, and I'm reading it, and I'm actually reminded of Jennifer and her About Today's Show, because I don't understand that at all either. This would be one of those circumstances that people unfamiliar with the law of large numbers would call a coincidence. Or, Howard, you know me to be a very smart man. Don't you think that if I were wrong, I would know it? I think you have as much chance of having a sexual relationship with Penny as the Hubble telescope does in discovering the center of every black hole is a little man. What? I don't even understand what these quotes mean. It's stupid.
Well, you got to. It's geeky. It's very geeky.
Okay, let me ask.
Now, Chad should like this. Chad's building his own freaking computer. Nobody ever does that anymore. Nobody builds their own computer anymore. Your husband's building his own computer. He should love this show.
I'm so sick of that computer. That's all he does, just stare at it.
Did it ever get built? We're still in pieces on the table.
Well, you know what's funny is I went to bed last night, and I guess he was up building his computer, and it's actually in here, but I brought my laptop in anyway. I didn't even turn his on. I just left it alone. But no, I don't know. So there you go. Let me ask our first guest, Reese Coffler-Stanfield. If she likes The Big Bang Theory, because Reese is a really cool chick. I mean, I've been with her. She's fun. She's super fun to hang around. She's not nerdy at all, what I would think. She is a DQ, so that does kind of lean a little in that direction. But Reese, Do you like the television show The Big Bang Theory?
I kind of do. It's not my favorite show. My husband loves it.
You married a geek that's geekier than me. He's a Microsoft geek.
Poor Travis. He's not that geeky.
it's not my favorite show.
But
okay.
I'm more being more like, yeah.
So what do you like?
I'm more mean to, like, you know, the reality TV, like the Real Housewives. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Ah!
I definitely, yeah.
Oh, God.
I do.
You could have gone anywhere and you went there? Really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, we like the show Parenthood. But, yeah, I'm a reality. We like kind of the Bravo, Flipping Out with Jeff Lewis. We like that show. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
All right. Good
to
know.
Not at all what you expected.
I know.
No, but like I
said, you had no idea.
Well, like I said, she is a DQ, so you've got to allow for some sort of craziness there.
Yeah,
and
I know. I've got to have something in there.
Well,
all right, let's get on with it here.
You go.
Let's
you
get
go
serious.
Good.
We have Reese Coughler-Stanfield, host of the Dressage Radio Show, back with us for the first time since she became famous over on the Dressage Radio Show with Cooking with Reese, where we do our recipe. Howdy, Reese.
I'm so happy to be back. I know. I kind of missed coming on.
Well, you know, we missed having
you
for sure.
Yeah, we thought because you were all busy over there that you just wouldn't want to be back.
Well, the Dressage Radio Show has been great. We have all the technical issues worked out most of the time. We still won't let Glenn go. I told him I would quit if he would stop producing, so I think I have him on the hook a little longer. But because I'm a little, nervous about the technical issues. But Philip and I, my co-host Philip Parks, is great, and we're having a really, really good time with the show.
And actually, and the show is really found its groove. You know, it takes a couple of weeks, doesn't it, when you first start hosting and you've never done that before to really find your groove. But you guys really have, and your training tips are excellent. And it is nice having two Grand Prix level riders. Who are hosting that show. It really does make a difference, and you can really relate to things where somebody who's not at that level can't. You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
Good job.
And we're getting some great things. So we're getting some great listener feedback now, which is fun, and it does. It takes a couple weeks, so I think to everyone who hung on with us there in the beginning, Philip and I, like you said, Glenn, we're trainers. We're not radio hosts or personalities, but we're getting better on that end, and we hope we're bringing some really good programming and tips, and we're trying to get some really good people, and all our friends have stepped up, and they see us calling, and they know they better answer. They can't ignore us, so. Yeah, no, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun, and we're finally hitting our groove, and I'm not as nervous every time we go on, that's for sure.
Were you nervous at first?
Well, I think I was more nervous, honestly, about the technical side than I was about the training tip side. That didn't bother me as much, but definitely, hitting the right buttons. And I still can't, every weekend, can't get my microphone on right and that kind of stuff. But I'm getting better every time we record. So, yeah.
Let's talk food, my favorite topic.
Yeah, totally different topic, and as everybody knows that knows me, I really do like to cook. It's kind of one of my, hobbies. So also, besides watching The Real Housewives, I do like the Cooking Network. I watch that all the time, so which is good because you learn how to do a lot of things, and it makes Travis, my husband, really happy. So I don't know about anybody else, but we have had, over the weekend, a plethora of tomatoes. I don't know about anybody else. We have so many tomatoes. So last week I made sauce from scratch. Yes, I did the tomatoes, everything.
Wow.
I know. And then yesterday I made soup, but I was looking for another recipe because I still have a whole carton of tomatoes that need to be used, like, now. So I came up, found this fresh tomato pie recipe. So it looks great. I have to be honest, I haven't tried it. So anybody that tries it, let me know. But it sounded awesome. I had already started my soup, so I couldn't kind of change mid-range. But
I have a question.
Sure.
So you're talking about you have a plethora of tomatoes. Now, is that because you have a big, giant garden, or is it just at the store you keep the
No, we have a garden, actually. Yeah, we have a garden. It's Yeah.
These are homegrown then.
Yeah, these are homegrown tomatoes. And that's why it's, and, you know, they're getting to the end of the season. So we need to use them, like, now.
Right.
And, yes, Umberto, my farm manager, he helps me with the garden because I'm not great. I don't have a green thumb at all. But I really like the end result. So we work together on that. And I'm pretty good at watering the garden. That's about it. So, but this one really struck, you know, like I said, I'm not kidding you. I have a bucket of tomatoes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I made soup. I made sauce. I'm like, oh, I need something else. So I hope if anyone else is having this little bit of a problem, you know, this will help. I'm not into canning yet. That seems, I just don't have that kind of time to invest in canning. That seems,
it does
take time.
Yeah, and I looked at canning too, Reese, because we have some trees that drop a lot of fruit, and so I've been trying to figure out how to, like, save this fruit. And I'm like, God, it's like several hundred dollars of an investment to even begin the canning process.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's just, I just feel like I can go to Walmart and buy a can of tomatoes for 69 cents, and I'm okay with that at the moment. Maybe next year I will, you know, research and be more prepared. But at this point, no. I just, and again, I, you know, very rarely do I actually have a weekend off at this time of year, so it just seems like too much for me.
And you know what? My mom would can when I was growing up, and still does to this day. And I remember sitting outside in the kitchen, like, looking in, and she was, like, in there with tongs and gloves and would burn herself, and she pouring sweat because it's so steamy and hot. And I just thought, you're right, Walmart, 69 cents. Come on.
Yeah. I just don't think that's – but my sauce was –
can I, Glenn, are you there?
I think we've lost Glenn. Can you hear me, Jamie?
Yeah, I can hear you. Where is everybody?
It's you and I in the room.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Nope, it's just you and me. I'm gonna call Reese back.
Okay.
And I'm sure Glenn is typing furiously this very minute to call back because I don't hear him talking.
I'm like, am I gone? So, yeah, on the technical side of this show here, a lot of times the internet connection that we use to work with this kicks us each off at some point. It's just a Blog Talk Radio thing, and we've tried to get it fixed repeatedly, and it just doesn't get fixed. So we are going to try to get
back
on the phone. Glenn is here, thank goodness. Okay, I thought I was gone. I'm like, why don't I hear anything?
No, sorry about that, everybody. Yeah, I got booted. I guess Reese got booted at the same time. I'm surprised you were still here, actually. So we'll get her back on, and she can finally. I know. I know it is frustrating. But this fresh tomato pie she's talking about looks really good. We got to get her back on so we can talk about it. It does look like a really good recipe here. And this is vegetarian. This is not. It doesn't have any meat in it. So you're good with
this. I know, this is great, and I'm getting hungry reading the ingredients because I'm waiting for Reese to tell me how to make it. But I can see the ingredients, and it looks awesome, and it is vegetarian, and she's so sweet for making vegetarian things. I'm not sure about the 1.5 cups of mayonnaise on this thing.
I don't know why. I was reading this recipe, and I'm not sure why you're mixing it. Actually, you mixed cheese with mayonnaise and spread it over top the whole thing. I've never heard of putting mayonnaise and cheese together like that. Maybe I'm missing something.
Well, we shall see when she gets back on. But right now, Jennifer's having a hard time getting her back. So we'll just go ahead and do a news story until we get her. And now, the auction you talked about, Glenn, was not the one that was selling horses for almost $1 million apiece. Now, Rita Crumwell, that is the crazy chick who embezzled like $53 million from her town and has been living large, running around out there. Alan from the Western Radio Show actually like knew her at horse shows. Anyway, they sold one horse named Good I Will Be for over $775,000.
was the first horse sold Sunday at the live auction for $775,000. It was a good omen of things to come. They expected that horse to sell from $250,000 to $1 million, so they were at the higher end of that. Yeah, it was going a little higher than the horses we were seeing at the auction we were at. And apparently, all the horses were going pretty well. There were 1,000 people that came out in person. They had 1,000 people there live, and they estimate over 4,000 people between live and the online part. But Reese is back. Let's go back. Reese, go ahead with your recipe before we lose your
hand. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I was just testing the technical skills. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Fresh tomato pie. Go.
Fresh tomato pie. 1 cup of any baking mix like Bisquick. 1/3 of a cup of milk, whatever you got. Fresh tomatoes. Now, this is where it gets a little technical. Approximately 5 to 6 small ones, or 3 to 4 medium, or 2 to 3 large. Kind of depends. Then 1 medium to large onion, salt and pepper to taste, 1 teaspoon of basil, 1 cup grated Monterey Jack cheese, 1 cup grated cheddar cheese, and 1.5 cups of mayonnaise. Okay, pretty easy. You grease a 9 to 10 inch glass pie dish with a cooking spray. Mix together your baking mix and milk. Okay, so then you want to form little balls and put them all down on your pie dish. Be sure you're making a crust. Okay? You do not want to go over the sides of the baking dish. Apparently somebody has done that because it's in the recipe. Don't push it over the side because it will explode. All right. And then the recipe says, peel, which is not necessary, and peeling the tomatoes takes a long time. Yeah. So they said peel, and then it says not really necessary, so take it as you want. I would say just cut up your tomatoes, slice your tomatoes, or chunk them. You want to spread the tomatoes into the kind of pie dish, and you want to sprinkle your onions very thin. Again, use the onions that you're comfortable with. I'm not a huge onion eater, but my husband likes them, so I would probably do a little bit more. You want to sprinkle your salt, pepper, and basil over the onions and tomatoes. You want to mix the cheese and mayonnaise together in a small dish and spread it over the onions and tomatoes. You want to bake for 20 to 25 minutes at 425. And it says just look at it. So you want your cheese to turn golden brown. And then you bring it out, let it cool just till the cheese and everything kind of sets up. And that will help firm the pie, and then you serve it. So,
oh, my God.
We were talking about it when you were gone. The mayonnaise is the thing that struck Jamie and I in this recipe. You don't usually see mayonnaise mixed with cheese.
I think you do in like, casseroles. So,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, you see it. You see it. I'm not a huge mayonnaise, so whenever I see it, I'm kind of like, oh. But I would eat it this way. In dips and stuff, if you think about it, kind of mix it in there. I make an artichoke dip. It's really fun.
Are there mayonnaise substitutes that you can use instead? Like, to me, that seems like, this sounds like the perfect recipe because it's cheese, tomatoes, and bread. All of that is perfect.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
But you throw the mayonnaise in there. I want to know if there's like a substitute, because that's a lot of egg. To me, mayonnaise is kind of weird. So
yeah, it is. It is weird, and that surpasses my knowledge. You could probably just, well, I don't know. If anybody knows, let us know, but that surpasses my knowledge.
You could put the cheese over top of this without the mayonnaise and just have a cheese crust. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't need the mayonnaise, I wouldn't think. You probably wouldn't need to cook it as long. You wouldn't cook it as long without the mayonnaise, because the mayonnaise is helping the cheese not burn, you know, but the,
right.
You know what I mean? So.
Look at Chef Glenn over here.
Glenn is a good cook, too.
Oh, you know, Jennifer just posted that she saw a version that used cream cheese instead of mayo. Ooh, that'd be really good.
Yeah, that would be good. I bet you. I was kind of thinking that you could do cream cheese.
Cream cheese is like food of the gods. Ugh.
Ooh, yeah. I just Googled it. You can use Greek yogurt instead.
Ooh.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Gosh, what do we do before Google? Yeah, Greek yogurt. any of that. I bet cottage cheese, you probably could do it, too. So,
Reese, you know what we did before Google is we asked our grandmothers. You know,
exactly.
You're right.
No, we did. We asked her grandma. You called her up, and you called. Yeah.
I cannot tell you how many times I called my mom after I left home and asked about recipes. And my brothers were all the same way. I cannot tell you.
Yeah. And now you don't need to. Now you just Google. You know, it's just like, wham, much quicker. Yeah. And it's a much quicker conversation. You just call. You don't have to talk about the weather, what you were wearing, or what you did. Yeah. Google.
Google doesn't care what, where you went shopping for, the latest towels that are hanging in your bathroom. They don't care.
No, they don't care. They don't care. They don't care about, what you ate for lunch. They don't. I hope this helps everybody if they had a tomato problem like I did. This sounds really good, and I'm going to make it with the next round of tomatoes we have coming in.
I'm going to make this, if not today, I'm going to buy the ingredients today. And then I'm going to make this. Sounds amazing. Amazing.
Oh, I think it would be great. And actually, it'd probably be good. You know how sometimes in the winter when your tomatoes just aren't very good? I mean, right now the tomatoes are so good.
Right.
But in the winter, I hate tomatoes. And I bet you put them in like this and they'd be way better. So it'd be a good side dish. Because, Jamie, I was racking my brain to find a vegetarian recipe because I couldn't come back for my first show and do like a real meaty stew, which is I thought about, and I thought, oh no, that's not gonna work.
Yeah, so, definitely. I appreciate it. I appreciate it
wholeheartedly.
Now I'm starving. So thank you very much.
I know. Anytime. So if anybody makes it, I want to see a picture of it because I want to try it as well. So.
See, I like to tell myself that I don't bake. Really, I don't bake, but this is not really baking. This is easy because you're just throwing Bisquick in there, so I can do that.
I don't think you can mess up Bisquick. You know what I mean? I don't know. We all have mishaps in the kitchen. Yesterday, I was trying to make some banana bread. I had some bananas, and I was like, oh, great, I'll make some banana bread. I was making dinner. Yeah, I misread the recipe and put, instead of 2 cups of flour, 2 cups of sugar.
So, oh!
So I took my little muffins out, and I was like, those would give any child or adult a terrible sugar high. So they
you made banana cookies. You should sort of made them flat. They were banana cookies.
That would have been great. I should have called you guys, because I should have Googled, because, at that point, I should have Googled. So what can I say?
Well, thank you, Reese.
Go ahead, Glenn.
You're welcome. Well, I hope you guys
We'll post this
listen.
On Facebook. Jennifer's going to post the recipe on Facebook. Anybody wants to see it, go to our Horses in the Morning page on Facebook. And don't forget to check out Reese at DrivingRadio.com. They're there every week. And, of course, we've been playing your shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays here when we can. So we really appreciate you continuing to join us for Cooking with Reese.
Okay. Bye, guys. Have a great day.
All right,
bye,
Reese. And we do have the past recipes from Cooking with Reese over on our Facebook page as well under the notes section. You just go under notes and you'll see all of her past recipes. And you've made several of them. We've made a couple of them. I know you've tried several of them too.
I made the couscous stuffed chicken for Chad. I didn't even get to taste it. I just ate the couscous. But I'm now cooking with this new grain. Guys, have you used quinoa?
Who?
It looks like it's pronounced quinoa, Q-U-I-N-O-A, and it's a new, it's not new, it's like ancient Incan grain that they use, and it's apparently, you can use it in place of rice, and it's incredibly healthy. It's kind of like a couscous thing, and it's called quinoa.
No. Mm-mm. That's new to me.
Okay. Well, I'll come up with I'll send a message to Reese and be like, you've got to use quinoa because you cook it just like rice, but it's unbelievably healthy for you, high protein, and that's what a vegetarian needs. And my husband with high cholesterol doesn't get to eat white rice anymore. I cut that out of his diet completely. So,
you are the wicked food witch of the West. That poor guy. I know he's eating at Burger King every day at the base.
He better not be. He will be in big trouble. Big trouble. But, yes, he used to eat, like this Bisquick mix. I was thinking when Reese was talking about it, I'm like, okay, can I use my whole wheat organic flour that I got from Trader Joe's as opposed to the white, creamy, Bisquicky crap that they have? Probably not, but I'm going to give it a try. It's going to be a wheat pie, a wheat tomato pie.
How to ruin anything that's good. You guys eat good. Hey, by the way, I said driving radio. I really meant to say dressage radio. She's on the dressage show, not the driving show. Well, let's take a break for our song today. We have a little Jeff Dawson in 90 Mile an Hour. I haven't heard this one for a while. And then we're going to be back with Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation.
I got invited to a gathering here just the other day. The outfit boss seen me in town, this is what he had to say. Been a while since you helped us, things have changed here just a bit. Then he kicked the ground with his old boot and leaned over and spit. He said, I don't know if you know this or not, but we don't use horses anymore. The new owner, he took over, and all that horse stuff went right out the door. Now don't you laugh, but we're all riding about a 200cc. Bright yellow rubber tired Kawasaki. But we still could use your help if your old horse don't mind the noise. And I'd hate myself if you got bucked off amongst all our cowboy toys. I said we'll be there at 6, sonny, and don't you worry none. Ain't no way my old horse and I would be having this much fun. Now, story, it gets good from here because you ain't seen so many wrecks. Why, it looked like opening day of the Kansas Speedway Motorplex. They was upside down and sideways. They was rolling over and breaking bones. I didn't know whether to keep gathering cattle or doll. I'd want one on my phone. Because it was 90 mile an hour over killing under trees. My horse and I are dodging steers and Kawasaki's. 90 mile an hour and there's cussing galore. Ain't no way my horse and I would trust it anymore. Now, when the smoke all cleared, my horse and I pinned every last head. The new owner, he came over and he said, what I owe you. And this is what I said. While them four-wheelers is hunting places to cross and shifting gears with all their torque, my horse and I, we shut the gate on them all. We did about four times the work. So honestly, my pay should be about four times that of those other hands you hired. He looked at me and he wrote me out a check and he said, your horse or fire. Ain't that a heck of a note? Cause it was 90 mile an hour over killing under trees. My horse and I are dodging steers and Kawasaki's. 90 mile an hour and there's cussing galore. Ain't no way my horse and I near enough money in the sky. Ain't no way my horse and I wanna fit anymore. I hate them Kawasaki's.
And that is Jeff Dawson, 90 Mile an Hour on the Horse Radio Network. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. Go to Omega Alpha Equine to see all their awesome products. Glenn?
Yes, the Horse Radio Network show highlight for the day is the Sable Scoop Radio Show. Came out on Friday. We had clinician Jonathan Field on, and he was one of the competitors for Team Canada at last year's Road to the Horse and lost to our friend, if you remember, Guy McLean. And he has his Inspired by Horses program. Very, very interesting guy to talk to. And we had a blast talking to him. We're going to have him back for sure. Plus, I did my interview. Remember I told you last week that I hardly ever intimidated when I interview people or I don't get starstruck too often. But when I interviewed this girl, I'll tell you what, Virginia Hankins, I was kind of tongue-tied. And she's a female fighter, a stunt archer, a weapons trainer, a jouster, and a lady knight. And she was absolutely fascinating to talk to. Plus, talk about smart. She likes Big Bang Theory, I guarantee you, because she graduated with dual majors in biochemical engineering and chemistry.
Oh, yeah, she's a nerd.
So, yeah. But she's a tough nerd that can kill
and
you
hot.
Quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And hot, and very hot. She's bright red flaming hair. But there was fun interviews over at the Stable Scoop Show. Just go to stablescoop.com.
And we've got our next guest on, and it is Leslie Wiley from HorseNation.com, the best way to spend or waste your workday, aside from listening to our shows. Go to HorseNation.com. Leslie, good morning.
How's it going?
Oh, it is going good, but the argument continues, and I think you did post on our Facebook page. Do you love The Big Bang Theory?
I haven't seen a ton of it, but what I've seen, I liked. I thought it was funny.
What is wrong with you, Pete? You're a computer nerd. This doesn't count.
And what's her name? Rides horses. The girl character on the show. So, I mean, we've got to support that, right?
Sure. That's great. apparently everybody supports it besides me and my husband. We hate the show. So I was just asking, a fellow eventer, maybe I thought you'd have a little bit of class, a little bit of taste, but whatever, it's cool. Go ahead.
No, don't look to me for a class or taste.
So tell us what is going on HorseNation.com.
Well, as usual, lots of stuff, lots of fun stuff. Last week we had sort of a fun day. It was on Wednesday. We have a cartoonist, Morgan Schmidt, who does a cartoon called The Idea of Order every Wednesday. And they're always hilarious. And this last week's comic was basically portraying her, and it, I wouldn't be surprised if it was based on a true story, basically this girl, the cartoon is of this girl, and she's boxing up stuff to sell on eBay because she's found this new rolled bridle, dressage bridle that she wants. And then as it turns out, one of the items that she is selling is her boyfriend's iPad.
Oh, no.
And he's asking about it, and she's like, oh, I haven't seen it. So that got me thinking, because I'm sure I'm not alone I'm sure everybody's done some crazy things, I think, to afford their horse habit, you know.
Wait a minute. That's grounds for immediate divorce. iPad? Your boyfriend's iPad? Dump that chick tomorrow. Give me his phone number, we'll call him right now. Dump. There are lines you draw. Lines.
There are lines. I've never sold my boyfriend's iPad, thank goodness. I'm not quite that desperate.
So
I mean, iPod. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, don't sell your boyfriend's computer because there's probably naked pictures of you on it. That'd be a bad idea. And you know what? Let me just back up. It was a bad idea for you to take those in the first place. So
that's right.
Y'all,
that's right.
Take some advice from me. Just kidding.
Listen to Jamie.
Let me take that one step further. If you don't have to worry about selling your husband's computer because by then there are no naked pictures on it. So.
Yeah. Once you're married, no more naked pictures. Sorry,
no more
dude.
Naked pictures.
Oh, boy. So did anybody have any really good ideas of fundraising besides the boyfriend's iPad?
I had good ideas, of course. I'm a big believer in where there's a will, there's a way, you know. And And so I think, you know, if you're gonna aim big, if you want that Grand Prix horse, if you want that mini farm in Wellington, if you want, you know, that trailer with living quarters, I think you've gotta, you know, you're not gonna get it by just going and, you know, selling your boyfriend's iPad or going and, you know, what do we do in college to afford our living? Go give plasma or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to aim big. So
donate bodily fluid.
I mean, that's just not gonna cut it. I think at some point, if you want the big stuff, you've got to really make that sacrifice. I think you've got to, you know, I think sell a kidney. Do you have any idea how much you can sell your kidney for on the black market?
Okay, hold on. Let me just
make it to the next level.
Because you don't really need, you have two, right? And so you don't really need one of them.
Yeah,
so
you don't need it.
Now, you can take out your kidney and sell it on the black, like, where is the black market? How do we find those people?
You've got to have connections, I guess. But you, or maybe you can just put an ad on Craigslist and...
You know what? Of all places, you could totally sell a kidney.
Oh,
it would be on Craigslist.
But do you know how much kidneys go for?
I don't.
Yes. Yes. Like, what would you think? What would you sell your kidney for? What would it be worth?
Selling my kidney on the black market, I would think I should get somewhere upwards of $100,000.
Do they have to, like, operate to take it out? If that's the case, then it's going way high for me.
Yeah.
There's no magic way
to
take it out.
unless you want somebody to operate on you, not some black back alley knife and...
Yeah. No. You know what? Just give me the saw. I'll do it. Just give it. Come on. Yeah. How much?
Okay,
how much,
so
Leslie?
How much? $262,000. Do you know what kind of horse you could buy for that?
Seriously.
You could buy a nice horse. Yeah.
Would you please let me know, number one, who the doctor is that can do the operation, and number two, the driver who's going to transfer my kidney from the from my body to the black market, and the person on the black market I need to talk to? Cause that's
I'm working on it. I'm on it. Yeah, that's a three-star horse, maybe a four-star horse, Grand Prix horse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like that right there is importing my Spanish Andalusian and also buying a 3-star horse. That's nice.
That's nice. Yeah, I might do that. But I found some website and it had it was taken from like an FBI document about how much all these different body parts go for on the black market, and the kidneys were. But you can, I mean, pretty much anything. You can sell almost any part of your body on the black market. I mean, some parts, obviously, you need them, but it was fascinating.
Yeah. So, okay, I've just found your article here on horsenation.com. And number two, I see a lot of downside on number two.
Okay, number two, have somebody's baby for them. Okay, downside. There are downsides.
Okay, but you're not going to ride for like 5 months.
You lose nine
yeah.
months or
yeah.
less, whatever. Pain at childbirth, pretty painful, right?
Oh, God.
But, however, surrogates can earn between $20,000 and $30,000. That's
really?
Something, right? Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Say,
but if you divide that by the month, it really doesn't sound like as much. You know, nine months and $20,000 that doesn't sound like much, you know.
You know, I think this would be an ideal situation for if your horse, say your horse is out for a few months anyway, like it blows a tendon, whatever, it's on stall rest, you don't have anything better to do, might as well make some money on the side.
Heck yeah. You know how hard it would be to explain to your parents, especially if they're, like, really wanting a grandbaby?
And you're like, well, no, it's not mine. It's not mine. I'm getting paid to have this one. That's good money. And you know what? There are lots of women. They're not. I don't think they're horse women. But there are lots of women that really enjoy being pregnant. I think they probably watch The Big Bang Theory and they sit around pregnant.
I don't know about this. The liking being pregnant thing. I don't know if I believe that.
God. But like I'm saying, you're married now. You just wait. You just wait. So the conversation starts everywhere you go. Like somebody patted me on the thigh the other day, and they said, "Don't worry, honey, it'll happen for you." I was like, "What? Why does everybody think that a married woman wants to have babies all the time? Seriously? Oh, God! You just wait, girl. It'll happen for you, honey. Don't you worry." Before I get off on another tangent, lose the house is number three. Are you advocating selling your house?
Downsizing. I mean, to cheap apartment, back seat of your car, during horses. You know, lots of people have big tack rooms in their trailers. You could save so much money if you just let go of the house. You're at the barn most of the time anyway. You don't need that. You don't need that house.
That's a good point. Now, I don't think that number three, losing the house and moving into your car, is going to be a really, like, because I read number five, and I don't think that you're going to, if you are number three, you're going to do number five very well.
So number five is marry rich. Marry, and not just big money. We're talking big money. You know, I write. There are lots of lonely single millionaires out there just waiting for a hot girl in tight britches to come galloping into their life. True fact.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
On that note, let me add to this conversation by saying that I read this study just yesterday, and I just pulled it up, that the ways college kids are making money right now, the real ways they're making money, not Leslie's fantasy ways, are one of the top things is doing testing for the colleges, medical testing. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to be the guinea pig to test drugs that aren't on the market yet. Did you ever do that one, Jamie? That was one you never lined up for. Now, the problem is there you could have severe side effects, but it pays very well. You can earn $8,500 a semester being a guinea pig.
What?
Yeah, big
seriously?
Money. Big money. Now, the other top ways that college kids are earning money these days with the economy the way it is, egg donation. You don't even have to have the whole baby, guys. Just donate the eggs. $6,500 for her first egg. And you can do between $4,000 and $6,000 an egg.
Yeah, apparently it's really painful, though. I've looked into this.
Well, baby, haven't...
I can do that.
Having babies is painful, too. And then you talked about that body fluid thing. Apparently, that can be quite profitable and is a very popular one among male students now.
Yes.
Sperm donors. They make up to $2,600 a month, some of them, going three times a week.
Yeah. When I was an intern at the alternative rock radio, I was one of the reporters at this alternative rock station, and one of the interns, that's how he was able to work at the radio station for free, was he donated several times a week. And I just thought, that some poor woman is getting a photo of some smart, good-looking, hard-working guy, but really what's happening is she's getting the sperm of this loser who's, like, spending it on drinking money. No, I'm like, who would pay for your sperm? Do they know it's you? He's like, nope.
Nope. All right. Now the next one relates exactly to what you were just talking about, Leslie, with finding a rich husband. Well, you don't even have to make him a husband because apparently one of the very popular websites for college students right now is called SeekingArrangement.com, where these older sugar daddies will just pay for your living expenses and how much money you need, I'm sure in exchange for some services. But apparently there are a lot of college students that are getting everything paid for to the tune of $4,000 to $5,000 a month by these
guys.
Yeah.
And there's a website?
Seekingarrangement.com. Yeah.
No, Glenn. That's too easy. I remember when this whole internet thing first started, it was Sugar Babies or SugarDaddies.com, and you just go straight to the source. Like, if you were wanting a sugar daddy, you would put yourself on SugarBaby.com. And I don't know if it's a website anymore, but it was SugarBaby.com, and you would try to lure in a sugar daddy.
Well, apparently this is the same thing, Jamie, because, it's the same thing.
Okay.
In fact, they bought sugar daddy. That's what happened.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's funny.
So there you go. That's the other way you can do it, if you have no morals or scruples whatsoever.
Leslie, we're teaching you.
I've got my pen and paper here. I'm taking notes.
Part 2 of the article.
I don't know how I'm going to, honey, how am I going to explain this to my husband? Honey, I just, it's a side job.
You know what I was thinking is how you're going to explain to your husband, you do all these things through college and then you get some moral scruples and you've donated your eggs and then you've donated, sperm or whatever, and then you get married later on and be like, oh, by the way, there's like 8 of me right now. how do you have that conversation?
I don't know.
You're in line at Disney World and you look over and one of your kids is standing next to you, like, because you're like, oh my God, that baby looks just like me. Where are you from? Oh, okay. You're mine. All right, well, you've given us some good ideas, Leslie, some things to think about. I think you guys also mentioned you could rob a bank, but to me that's a bad call because everybody gets caught.
Yeah. And you know what? How many times do you hear about rob a bank and it's like, are you kidding me? You go rob a bank and all you walk out with is $1,000. It's got to be more than that, rob a bank,
rob a bank. And then you go to open the bag and that blue dye explodes in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too hard nowadays, rob banks.
Yeah, I didn't really think that one through.
Love it. All right, well, Leslie, go to horsenation.com. You can find your own ideas of making the big bucks to pay for your horse habit. Because... as you say on this segment of your of the blog post, it's easy, right? It's easy. Enjoy. HorseNation.com, Leslie Wiley. We'll talk to you next
Leslie.
Week, darling.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Now, I do see that Sugar Baby for You, the number 4 and the letter U, is still in business, Glenn.
I highly recommend you erase that one before your husband wakes up this morning. That wouldn't be good.
That's a great point. Oh, you can't even go and look around on it. You have to enter a password and probably a credit card number. Never mind. Forget it.
What else do we have today before we go? Oh, a couple news stories before we get out of here. Horsehair thefts are back. If you live in Wyoming... and then you live in the Trona or Converse counties, look out, because they've had 30 incidents reported in recent weeks of horse tails and manes being cut in the night. This thing just keeps, every time we think we don't have any more tail thefts, we get more tail thefts every time.
I know, and it just makes you think, what are people doing? Is this, it's all to make jewelry or keychains? I mean, what are they doing? Or, selling it?
Yep, they still suspect they're selling it to make headwear, jewelry, paint brushes, apparently, musical bows, among hair extensions and the tail of horses. So, hair extensions, how much can you make, though, that you risk, one, getting shot walking onto somebody's property, and two, a horse kicking your face off? And why do the horses never kick their faces off? That's my next question.
Maybe they do. We don't. They don't do a news story about I was stealing a tail and I got my face kicked off. Maybe they do. They probably sue. So you're right. It hasn't happened yet. So just protect your horse's tails. Be like me and just have really crappy tails on every one of your horses, because
don't ever brush them.
I don't brush them, and then they're just really crappy tails.
For
yeah. exactly. Dreadlocks, you know, but they're great because, you know, then they can still switch to flies. All right. So, do you remember in the Olympics, Glenn, that big horseshoe jump and it had the two horseshoe horses that were jumping towards the horseshoe jump?
Yes.
It is for sale. It is going to go up for sale at Christie's, the auction, Christie's auction in London on November 20th. And they have decided how much they think it is worth. Do you want to guess?
Okay. That's the one that you could see the whole city when they jump through. 5,000.
Oh my God. Yeah, I love the fact that you guessed, you probably thought you were guessing high. They're thinking it's going to go for 50 to 80,000 pounds,
what?
Which is $80,000 to $120,000.
For a jump?
$120,000 is what they're hoping to get. It is a, all of it, it was made from recycled horseshoes, the horses that were jumping up into the jump. This is crazy.
Wow. Holy cow. That's a lot of money. That has to be a record. Now, that's what they're asking. What they're going to actually sell it for might be a different story.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. But anyway, enjoy that. I'm sure we'll have a lot of listeners that are there bidding. The other news story I wanted to cover real quick before we go is that, remember like 2 weeks ago, it seems like I told you that Clayton Fredericks was moving to Ocala, Florida?
My new neighbor.
He's going to be your new neighbor. Now, guess what? That guy works quick. He's opening the facility next month.
Yeah, I think he rented, he got one that was already there, right? He's not building one.
Well, obviously, because that would have been some amazing building work right there. It's property owned by Charles and Ann Koch, and it's going to have 36 stalls, 150 acres of paddocks and schooling pastures with 600 acres of cross country. Holy
oh, wow.
cow. This place is going to be amazing. He wants to try to put on horse trials there as well. He says that I'm extremely fortunate to have found this perfect setting on which to establish my U.S. training operation here in Ocala. I've been exploring several options for expansion of my eventing program along with Southern Star Saddlery into the U.S. market, and this location will enable me to fully explore the potential of both businesses. Now, it doesn't say how to get the sugar mama and the sugar daddy that are both married to each other, that then you can get to buy your place. That was a brilliant idea.
Let me see if I can figure where that website is. Horsefarmsforyou.com. Horsefarmsforyou.com. There it is.
Is that
sugar
the number
daddy.
Four or the, spell it out? What is it? Wait a minute.
When you find one of those, let us know, okay?
Man, that is awesome. We got to have him on the show just to ask how he did that. Nice job, dude.
Pretty good arrangement. 600 acres. Yeah. 600 acres to ride on. That's not too bad. Florida acres, palm trees.
So it's actually like 750 acres total. If you do the math, that's amazing.
Can you imagine 150 acres of pastures, Jamie? You out there having to fight to keep your 1 acre of pasture green?
God, it'd be so nice. and you who has no grass, imagine.
Yeah,
that.
I would have taken that horse home for sure. That Percheron would have been mine. By the way, I'm being reamed out on Facebook for not bringing that horse home. Did you see that? A lot of people not happy. And did you also see that your Big Bang is up to 45 comments now? Gosh.
Who? Does anybody not like it?
There were two or three. You have a couple of friends. Not a lot. Most people are just quoting lines from, like Alan quoted one of the funniest lines. If you're a listener of Big Bang, you'll get this. Knock, 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 Jamie. Knock, 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 Jamie. Knock, 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 Jamie. And if you're a what? Way to go, Alan.
Okay, I saw that comment, and I was like, what is he talking about?
Anybody that watches that show is going to crack up reading that, and they're going to give Alan kudos. Alan of the Western Radio Show right on top of it today. Thank you, Alan.
Now, see, this is why I don't watch this show, because Lisa Nielsen posts, and this is going to make Jennifer laugh, I'm sure. I think this dispute could be resolved with a round of rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock.
Yes.
That's not Bazinga.
See what you're missing out on, Jamie. See what you're missing out on.
That's not funny.
That's it for today, everybody. We'll be back again live on Wednesday, but we will have a show here for you tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning. Don't forget, you can listen to all the past episodes of Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com. And you can hear all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. We have a lot of them, and that is over at horseradionetwork.com. Thank you all for listening and for being here today, and be safe.
I would like to thank Brendan Nellums, Joe Carnes, also, let's see, Lynn Barr, because those people, those are the three of the 47 that have some sense. Everybody have a great week, a great weekend, great day. Spay, neuter,
I wish I had Big Bang music right now. I really do.
Oh, God, thank God.